hour number two of Riddle and the Reporter, Judy Riddle, Nick Kieser, live here from the Hiller Foamy Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single Saturday from 9 to 11. Talking Nashville Predators, spent hour number one primarily talking Titans, but now it's time to get into the hottest team in the 615, Nick. You've been following them closely. You are our team reporter for the station. What is this team doing to where they are 12-3 in the last 15? They're currently sitting in the number one wild card spot in the West. They seem to be one of the hottest teams in the NHL. What is going right for this team? And after starting the year 5-10, what's been the biggest change that has been made?
Well, I think first and foremost, let's get a lay of the land. Like you just said, Preds are 12-3-0, 24 points. That's best in the NHL, by the way. There are only a couple other teams that are in the 20-point marks. That would be the New York Islanders and the Vegas Golden Knights, who have 22 and 20 points, respectively, in about the last 15 games, give or take. So that's impressive. It's impressive to see that the Predators are at the top of the list. More importantly, UC Saros is playing out of his godforsaken mind. He didn't play last night, but it was interesting to see how, look, Kevin Lankinen, he gave up that many goals, but the Predators still scored a lot of goals. So that told me, Junie, to dive in just to this, the Predators are relentless. And so that is something that I have seen the last few games, last few weeks, the last 15, I guess you could say. It's been kind of hot and cold in that regard. They've kind of figured this out recently, the last few games, I would say. So they have another test this afternoon. So it's going to test them and just in terms of how their fatigue level is going to just continue to have to be able to grow through some pain right now throughout the season. It's their third back-to-back of the season. So UC Saros will probably be back in there today. But look, I think let's talk about Forsberg, because that's the talk of the town right now, just as much as the entire team. He is one of 16 players in the NHL this season to have 10 multi-goal or multi-point games this season. He has 11 games scoring multiple points in the first 30 games. That's crazy to think about. And then also, too, the Predators, they combined for 10-plus goals, obviously, with 6-5 win in overtime. So that was entering last night. Not sure how many at this point. I didn't do the math. I suck at math. But going into last night, there had been 41 games across the entire NHL season where there was a combined total of 10-plus goals between two teams. And so it was pretty fun to watch last night. And I'll read this one off earlier, too, because history just continues to build off of itself. Forsberg is the only Preds player in franchise history to score an overtime goal in consecutive games, which is regular season games or playoffs. He's the only player to do it league-wide since Martin Natchez back in January of this year. So it's been strictly Forsberg, UC Saros, Ryan O'Reilly in the power play. The penalty kills kind of struggled last night, but before last night's game, they were 19 of 20 on the penalty kill. So everything has been rolling, and that's really all you could say right now, Junie.
So it's just an improvement on special teams, getting more efficient with that. I feel like the young guys have come along. I love what Andrew Brunette has done. You know, guys that need to sit out and take a little bit of a breather, he's done that. I mean, even Tyson Barrie, a guy that requested a trade, put up a goal last night, early on in the season with Philip Tomasino. You know, sitting him down for a stretch there. I feel like even though you're not necessarily seeing it in the box score, but he's been getting a ton of, like, scoring opportunities here as of late. Juuso Parsonen is starting to look like the guy that we saw come on at the tail end of last season. He's been up there. He was on line two last night with Novak and Evangelista. Evangelista also a guy that I feel like he got sat that one game, and ever since then, he's been playing at a much higher level. You know, is this sustainable, though? You know, we're seeing this right now. It's early on in the season, and I feel like we're so accustomed to this Predators team being, you know, it's been a tale of two halves of the season. You know, under John Hines, it would be like they would come out red hot at the beginning of the year, and then they would taper off. Or they'd have a slow start, and then they would finish strong and sneak into the playoffs. With this team and the way they're playing right now, do you see them as a surefire playoff team? And if they do make it to the playoffs, can they make some noise? Because I'm starting to buy into the fact that they might be able to. Because this West out here in the NHL, it seems to be wide open to me.
Yeah, it is wide open. Let's just walk through it really quickly. The Preds have 34 points, and like I rattled off, they have 22 points in their last 15 games, which is kind of crazy. Or I'm sorry, so they have 24 points in their last 15, sorry. But the Avalanche are at 38, Stars are at 37, Winnipeg's ahead of Nashville by 2 with 36. And look, the Preds were basically only a few games back of first place. If they win today, they win a few more games this month, and a few of these teams kind of start tapering off, which they are just kind of teetering that fine line right now. The Preds could find themselves in a playoff spot, you know, before New Year's, and that would be great. And so, you know, there's that stat before Thanksgiving. If you're not in the postseason spot by that point, it was less than 40% that you would make the postseason, I think, or 20%, something crazy like that. Elliot Friedman keeps track of that all the time, friend of the program here. But look, I think the Preds are also one of three teams in the NHL that I noticed a few nights ago. They've not lost an overtime or a shootout this year. And so teams in front of them have lost a few in overtime or a shootout this year. Now that adds a single point. So at the end of the day, if you have more regulation wins than those, that's going to help you long term. And so it's a good sign for sure. You know, the Predators are going to go up against a team this afternoon, Junie, that, you know, in their last 10 games, they've been kind of they're 4-4-2. They just won an overtime, I believe. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Capitals bring to this team today, because if the Predators continue to build off of their recent success, which they truly could, I mean, that is something that they've been able to do, you know, a lot recently. And so can they stay consistent? Can they offer some stability moving forward? And I think part of it is the way that this group is just gelled together so nicely. The veterans, the younger guys, they've all complemented each other very well. And the guys that don't belong, they're still doing stuff in a little bit of their own way. Like you said, Tyson Barrie scored a goal. He has to help his own case if he wants to be traded, for sure. But he scored a goal last night. He had four with the Preds last year before the season ended, and he just got his first one this season. So it's good to see the other guys are starting to contribute. By the way, Kiefer Sherwood day-to-day with an upper body injury. We'll see what that turns into. Luke Evangelista was supposed to be scratched yesterday, and that did not end up happening. So consistency is their strong suit right now for sure, Junie. And UC Saros is the perfect epitome of what that looks like.
UC Saros is coming on. Roman Josi has come on with his early season struggles, and it seems like this team is finally starting to hit its stride. Coming up next, though, I want to kind of dive into this whole Tyson Barrie narrative a little bit more. Requested a trade a few weeks ago, has been in and out of the lineup. It seems to kind of be helping his case a bit more as of late. A goal, assist a few games ago, adding some points into the box score. So he's getting involved. What are the moves that the Preds are going to make before the trade deadline? Will anybody be coming up? And what are the final additions to this team to really make sure that they are in place to make the playoffs? We're going to get into that coming up next. You're listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. L.A. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 15 matchup against the Texans and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. Talking Nashville Predators, talking about how they are on an absolute hot streak, 12-3 in their last 15, and it doesn't seem like they are slowing down anytime soon. But even though this team has been seeing a lot of success, there's only room for so many players. And what has been really kind of a weakness of this team, in my opinion, the last couple years, has been their depth on defense. And this year, it seems as if they have too many quality defensemen. We're talking Ryan McDonough, Roman Josi, Jeremy Lazan, Alexander Carrier, Tyson Berry, Luke Shen. And then we're also talking about, you know, guys that are down in Milwaukee as well. So, Nick, with Tyson Berry not having the start that he's looking to have, and we got guys like Jake Livingstone and more in company, Spencer Stastny, all these guys are looking to come up and get into this six D-man rotation. They played with seven D-man at certain times. So what's got to give? Tyson Berry's already requested a trade. He's been playing better as of late. Have you heard anything new about this? Is he getting anywhere on this trade block, or could he just potentially stay here and they look for another defenseman to move off of?
Well, when I talked to David Alter, who covers the Toronto Maple Leafs, I had asked him last weekend, is there any interest or is that a good idea to maybe have that reunion with Tyson Berry? Because they had John Klingberg, who's going to miss the rest of the year. That's will pretty much hurt for the rest of the year. And they have a lot of younger guys on defense right now. And if they're going to be a cup contender in Toronto, which they've struggled to get past the second and first rounds for a while, I mean, Tyson Berry could be a very attractable asset, but their you know, time together last time didn't go very well. So he doesn't expect that to work out. David Alter, he's up there with the Hockey News, by the way. So he's an interesting, you know, just to kind of ask him just about that. But Elliot Friedman was on Caroline Willie and D-Mace, and some interesting things stood out to me about what he had to say about the Preds defense. He said that, you know, Dante Fabbro is a guy that's not been in the lineup all the time. And that's true. He's not been. And among guys being scratched, he's up there. He's pretty up. Like, I think he's the third or fourth most scratched player this year at this point on the active roster. So for Dante, you know, he has to ask himself, is it worth playing in this kind of rotation? I want more ice time. You know, guys, they're playing pro hockey at the highest level. So will he be able to hang around long enough to see this through? I have no idea. I think that's an attractable asset for most teams that are contenders. Hey, Dante Fabbro, he's been playing with Roman Josi a lot of the time since he's been here. So that's an interesting development there, I think. I don't know why Friedman mentioned this, but he said Carrier is an interesting one. I really liked him. The fact that he's not permanently in the lineup says to me they're not sure. Well, Elliot, he's only been out four games because of injury. So that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Call out the Adam Schefter of the NHL. Why don't you?
He's been playing with Jeremy Lazan. He only missed four games because Kirill Kaprizov from the Minnesota Wild hit him in his blind spot, and it was a dirty hit that didn't get reviewed whatsoever. So that was interesting. But yeah, Carey is still an interesting asset based on the merit of he's been playing consistently. He's been given a chance to play this year. Barry Trotz signed him to a one-year deal, so that is a prove-it deal for sure. So the Predators are seeing what they like out of him. Other teams might as well. But Trotz wants size, so that's going to be an interesting thing if they want to, you know, keep a guy like Carrier around who's a two-way defenseman. You know, McDonough and Shen, I think, are enough muscle. You need some guys that move the puck well. So if you trade a Berry, I think Spencer Stastny is a great add. I think he would be perfect for this team. And then if the Predators do end up moving off from a guy like Shen, opens up another spot. Then you can have a guy like Mark Delgado. You could even have, I don't know how much of a prospect he'll be for the NHL at some point, but maybe Luke Prokop when he's ready. In a couple of seasons, he's kind of struggled this year at times. He's been going between the ECHL and the AHL. But I'm not sure. I think there's a couple of guys that could definitely take that next step, Junie. But the defense, they do have quite a bit, and it's an encouraging sign. You know, Todd Richards even was on Robbie and Retro this week and said that he really likes that. That's a good problem to have. But the caveat is, unfortunately, some guys know that they have to deal with this rotation, and that's what kind of sucks right now.
I think going forward, they really need to figure out who they're going to hang on to when it comes down to this decision. You know, how many years does Jeremy Lazan have? Because I feel like Lazan has played much better this season than he has in the past 2 years since being acquired, you know, for the Predators. could Alexander Carrier, the way that he's playing, be a better bargain chip potentially than a Tyson Berry or a Luke Shen based off of the way that they're playing? Is that a possibility? Because again, this past offseason, they signed Carrier and Fabro to 1 year, kind of like, you know, a prove it deal. Maybe if, you know, they're kind of close and Carrier is more of a well-known commodity and has produced a little bit more, would he maybe get a little bit more and the Preds see more value in that?
Possibly. I think that when you see Tyson Berry on the market, I think it's an attractable asset because you know he can be a quarterback on the power play, but that would take time. And you're 30 games into a season. And there is a roster freeze coming up here in the latter half of this month before Christmas. And so you have to be careful with, if you do it now, do it quickly, could be pretty soon. I think it might come after New Year's at this point. That's just my gut feeling, but we'll see. I think Barry's, he has 1 year left. You also have Carrier on a 1 year deal. He's a UFA. The Preds might want to get something in return for Alex if they do want to trade him. He's 27 years old. He's a pretty decent D-man. You also have Dante Fabro. Like you said, he's a 25-year-old D-man who, you know, came into the NHL in the middle of a playoff series against the Dallas Stars. And so I think Jeremy Lauzon, by the way, 3 years left on his deal because the Predators signed him to, I believe, a four-year deal after they traded for him from the Seattle Kraken. So that's interesting for sure. And Jeremy, I think, is a perfect asset to the Nashville Predators. He'll be around long-term wise. And, you know, even Friedman, he believes that Luke Shen's here for a while as well. I mean, Shen has a 3-year contract with the Predators. On his previous, like, 2-3 deals, he never made anywhere near $2 million average annual. So the Predators are paying him $2.75. So that's intriguing for me to see, you know, what they feel like long-term might work. But I don't know. Luke Shen's a 34-year-old guy. I don't think he's going to finish out that contract with the Predators. I think that they'll end up trading him at some point because his skating is going to be what keeps him away from being a consistently good NHL player. He's just a hard-hitting guy. He'll fight you, too. That's about it. But really, Junie, I think the assets, they could be there. I think it just varies on what team wants who. And if it's a guy – or I'm sorry, if it's a team like Toronto – I don't really know what they would want to give up for Tyson Berry. They have a lot of injured pieces. They have draft capital, but the Predators probably don't see Toronto's draft capital as attractive as other teams because Toronto's going to be toward the latter half of draft rounds.
Yeah, see, I see Luke Shen. I don't think he's going to be on the trading block necessarily this year. Like you said, he's got 3 years. You know, they could trade him next year, the year after. I see him as one of those veteran pieces, you know, winning culture guys that they brought in, and they're going to have him here for a reason. Plus, I feel like he's been a number one enforcer. Anytime anybody's messing with Yossi, with Forsberg, you know, I feel like he's the guy that's stepping up to the plate and standing up and getting into those fights and stuff like that. He's a momentum shifter, and I think that they're going to keep him for that. For me, I think you move off Tyson Berry, and then you have to choose Alexander Carrier or Dante Fabro. Whether it's you keep Fabro and you think you can get more for Carrier, or you see Carrier as more of the long-term option and you just get what you can for Dante Fabro. Well, I feel like they have to choose between one of those two guys because with them being both unrestricted free agents this offseason, they're going to have to choose anyway. You might as well get some kind of compensation for them. So if I'm the Preds brass, that's what I'm looking to do. I'm keeping the glue guy in Shen. I feel like, yeah, although he is not the best skater, he's there for a reason. He's there for culture, and he's there to, you know, to handle guys when some of your top players get into some altercation. So I think that I think they hold on to him. But all in all, the Preds got some good decisions to make rather than being in a position where they need to go and add to their roster. They already got some good draft capital for the guys they unloaded off last year. So it's going to be really interesting to see where this team goes as we're kind of inching closer to midway through the NHL season. Already in a playoff spot, so they're sitting good so far. So we'll have to keep our eye on it. Again, they play the Washington Capitals tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Pre-game is going to be kicking off at 6 p.m. with Max Herr, so tune in for that. And Puck Drop will be at 7 with Pete Weber and Jay Moore on the call. Coming up next, I want to dive into the NFL in general. We got 4 weeks left in the regular season. I'm going to list off some teams, and I want Connor and Nick to get involved in this conversation. Are these teams contenders, or are they pretenders? And also, in the AFC, where there's so many quarterbacks injured, and there's so many teams that have, you know, woes on their roster, who is the main team to beat in the AFC? I want to get into that conversation. We're going to have our picks of the big NFL games going on this Sunday. We're going to make that to wrap up the show. We're going to do all of that coming up next. You're listening to Riddle and the Reporter, Junior Riddle. Nick Kieser here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into Riddle and the Reporter, Junior Riddle. Nick Kieser here. Saturday morning, talking NFL. We're going to do a fun little segment here because I was just thinking about it. This football season has just flown by. College is already done. We're already into bowl season. We're in the middle of December, and there's 4 weeks of the regular season remaining. And that kicked off between the Chargers and the Raiders, and one of those teams is, they're clearly done on the season as they have just cleaned house. But who in this moment in time, as we are in the final quarter of the regular season in the NFL, who are pretenders versus who are contenders? So I'm going to list off a couple of teams, and we're going to start with the NFC because I think this is going to be the easier conference to go through. And then I want to hear from Connor and Nick on whether or not they believe in these teams as true Super Bowl contenders. Let's kick it off. With the number one team in the NFL right now that everybody's looking at as quite possibly invincible, are the San Francisco 49ers pretenders or contenders? Who would like to start?
Go ahead, Kieser.
Oh, go ahead. Okay, so
this should be the easiest one.
Which division are we doing it? Sorry, you guys kind of cut out for like half a second.
Oh, no, you're fine. No, we're not starting with divisions. We're just going by team. So are the San Francisco 49ers, are they contenders or pretenders?
Oh, yeah, they're contenders. Absolutely. Yeah, I heard contender, pretender, and I thought, oh, well, I thought we were going by teams. No, they definitely are. They're like, this team is insane. Christian McCaffrey has been arguably the best weapon in the NFL this season. So easily contenders.
Connor, you agree? Is this an easy one? Or are they just contenders?
Oh, yeah, they're contenders.
I think they're the best team in the league. They're easily contenders.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're the best.
But one of the most controversial teams in the league sticking in the NFC. They got a big win on Sunday Night Football this past week against a division rival, the Dallas Cowboys, at 10-3 as well. Are they contenders or are they pretenders? Nick?
Contenders. Why else wouldn't they be?
Super Bowl contenders, Cowboys.
Yeah, I think so. I think at this point, I would say, like, Dak Prescott has not looked like I would expect him to at this point of the season. He's kind of been MVP caliber, to be quite frankly. I'm kind of buying into that the more I've kind of read about him and the more I look at his numbers. So I feel confident with that. And I don't know where you guys lean, but I think they could actually look like a better team this season and the postseason.
Okay, Connor, what do you think of the Cowboys?
They're pretenders. Two words. Jerry Jones. They're still Jerry's boys. They're going to get bounced in the first or second round. They do this every year. They beat up on the bad teams. Granted, they just beat the Eagles. But the Eagles have not looked like the Eagles lately. You know, I think they are better in years past, but I still can't trust them. They are pretenders.
I'm going to say they're pretenders as well, and here's why. They got a tough stretch down the rest of the way. The Eagles, I feel like they're going to kind of coast by. I think the Eagles could honestly win the NFC and get the first seed just off default because their schedule's pretty easy. Cowboys got to play the Bills. They got to play the Dolphins. Like, these are some tough games for the Cowboys, and I don't trust them on the road in the playoffs in either San Francisco or Philadelphia. Don't see them making the NFC Championship. I'm saying the Cowboys are pretenders, which brings me to the other team in the NFC East, the Eagles. They've taken some bad losses. They've gotten blown out 2 weeks in a row. Are they contenders or are they pretenders?
Contenders. Look, they're a great team to watch. I want to see them go back to the Super Bowl. They have been a really fun team. They've been one team that I've wanted to root for the entire season. look, AJ Brown's been tearing it up for a damn good reason, right? So, look, but Jalen Hurts, I think he's better for the experience that he had last year. I think he's going to be a huge, huge guy in this postseason. So they are contenders in my eyes.
All right, final team that I think can actually make some noise. They've been struggling late as well. What about the Detroit Lions?
We just got snubbed. I didn't get to give mine.
What about the Detroit Lions?
They're pretenders. Yeah, they're pretenders. They're still the Lions, man. I think they play in a soft division. I don't think the Vikings are that good. The Packers are struggling as of late, and then, of course, the Bears. I feel like when they play decent teams, they haven't performed to the best of their abilities.
Okay, how do you feel, Nick? You think they're pretenders as well?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The mighty team that will not yield. They've yielded to a couple of crappy teams this year in terms of where they should get wins in the win column. Yeah, they're not the perennial team that you want to have in the postseason. They'll make the playoffs, but they're not going as far as you think they are, probably.
All right, hot take alert. I'm saying the Lions are contenders.
Wampus.
I think they're going through a slight slump right now. I think they're a little bit they're working through some injuries here, but what wins in the NFL? The line of scrimmage. And when it gets even colder in late December and January, I like the Lions' offensive line. I like their defensive line, their ability to run the ball, their running back tandem. And I think the fact that they're going to win their division by default, I truly believe they are going to shock some people down the stretch. There's still room to get better. I think they will get better, and I think that they are going to go into the season red hot, and I think they win out the remainder of the season. So I'm saying they are contenders. But now we need to go over to the conglomerated AFC. Let's start with the team on top. Baltimore Ravens, pretenders or contenders? Let's start with Connor on this one.
I think they're contenders. That offense has taken leaps and bounds above last year's, and I can confidently say they have the best defense in the league. You know, Lamar Jackson is looking like an MVP this season. Odell Beckham has had a bounce back year for the Ravens, and Zay Flowers is a huge contender for Offensive Rookie of the Year. So I think the Ravens are contenders.
All right, Nick, what do you think of the Ravens?
I was teetering a little bit, but I'm going to go contender. I think Connor hit the nail on the head with quite a few of these for sure. Look, Odell's been looking better. Not the Odell of the old. I mean, not necessarily, but Lamar has been the most important thing to this team this season. The defense has been stellar as well, but I want to see them in a postseason game to see how real they truly are. But yeah, teetering, but contender.
Based off of what I've seen, do I think they're a contender? Yes. But I also know what this team does at the end of the year. They do this every season. They always start the regular season red hot. Lamar looks great. And as the season starts to wind down, so do they. I am saying until they prove me otherwise, they are pretenders. To me, they are. I just, Lamar's 1-3 in the playoffs. You know, he's gotten hurt at the tail end of the past two seasons. Can this team stay healthy? Can they stay together? And can they actually have some playoff success? I don't know. So until I actually see it, I'm going to call them pretenders. All right, the team that we talked about, the Titans beating, the Miami Dolphins. Tyreek Hill went down with injury. They look like a completely different team, but it looks like he's going to be all right, and it's not going to be an injury that's going to keep him out for a significant amount of time. What do we think of the Miami Dolphins?
The Dolphrods are pretenders.
They're pretenders.
They're pretenders. Who have they beat? That's decent. They've lost to Buffalo. They lost to the Titans. They haven't played a decent team with a winning record yet, and they haven't beaten one. It's clear that offense runs through Tyreek Hill. You saw that in the game the other day. When he was off the field, that looked like a different team. Without him, I don't think they're going to go very far. Even with them, I don't think they're going to go very far. That defense is kind of soft to me. The Dolphins are pretenders.
Okay, Nick, what do you think of the Dolphins?
I think pretenders. Look, like Connor kind of laid out again, they're not really a team that has proven consistently this season that they could be someone to be a threat at the postseason as much as you'd probably like them to. Mike McDaniels has done a great job, don't get me wrong, but I don't feel like this Dolphins team has been to the point where they are saying to everyone in the NFL, hey, we're a real problem. They have not really done as well as they should, maybe as much as they aspire to be right now this year. So, yeah, pretenders.
I'm going to go contender. I'm going to go. They have a really good pass rush. They pressured Will Levis on 46% of his dropbacks. I think that was more of what Will Levis did at the very end of the game. And it just kind of goes to show how special of a game he really did have on Monday night. They were getting there. They were getting home. They got two really good corners in Xavier Howard and Jalen Ramsey, which no team is going to want to see in the playoffs. And on top of that, when Tyreek Hill was in the game before he got injured, I know it was early, but the Dolphins were moving the ball with ease before that happened. He goes down. It completely slows him down. I need to see another game. If Tyreek Hill is out this week or a few weeks after this, I want to see what Tua's like. Give him a whole week of preparation without Tyreek Hill, and let's see how he plays. Having your number one guy go down in the middle of the game and you have to adjust on the fly, it's a little bit different. I'm going to give the Dolphins the benefit of the doubt. Everybody has a bad game, but I think that they have the roster and I think they have the talent to be able to move in the playoffs, especially how wide open this AFC is. They got the Ravens, they got the Cowboys coming up soon. So we'll see if they can actually play with some of the big boys. All right, last one that we're going to get into, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Are they pretenders or are they contenders?
I think they're pretenders. They also haven't looked like the same team as they did earlier on in the year. You know, Trevor Lawrence, I don't think is 100% still. I feel like that offense is very off and on with Calvin Ridley. And their defense is good, helmed by the real Josh Allen, my favorite Josh Allen. But I still think they are a product of a bad division. I feel like in a close game, they are not going to get it done. So for that reason, I am going to say the Jags are pretenders.
All right, Nick, what do you think of the Jags?
I think they're contenders.
Ooh.
I do. I think they are. I still think that they're built to be a squad that can prove something even later in the season. I felt like last year they did that. They were in a close game with the Titans. Did they have any business to win that game the way that it went down? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I still stand by that. But I think that the way that you have seen Trevor Lawrence play toward the end of the season, I feel like he knows what that will take now. Now, I did say on the Robbie and Rexha program yesterday that I don't really have confidence in them this week because of Trevor Lawrence the last little bit and some of their weapons. They've not necessarily looked like the team that they should be. But I feel like the end of the season, it's going to come down to just to the last week or so. And I think the Jags will win the AFC South. And I think that they will be a team that's a threat in the postseason.
I completely agree. The Jags won a big playoff game against the Chargers last year. I think they're going to win this division just with how the Texans are banged up. I think the Colts are going to be are pretenders, and they've already swept the Colts this year. So I like the Jags. I think Trevor Lawrence, he's been a little bit banged up. The last couple games, this defense had one of their worst outings against the Bengals. But I think they're going to bounce back. They got good edge rushers. They put pressure. They can run the ball. Travis Etienne is having a really good season. I think that they can make some noise in this playoffs. Again, we're talking about an AFC that's wide open. There's no Burrow that's going to be in these playoffs. The Chiefs have been struggling a little bit. I think Jacksonville can definitely have an opportunity if they play their cards right the next couple weeks. Again, I think recency bias with some of these teams that we've been talking about, the Dolphins losing, Lions losing, Jags losing. I think some of these teams can actually be contenders. We're just, you know, a little bit of recency bias with some of their losses. So I like the Jags. Now, I did say this was the last one. I forgot about a team. Don't know how we forgot about them, but can we all agree the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, no matter what, that they're going to be contenders. Can we all agree on that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Easily.
Yes.
Easily. So we shouldn't even put that one into question. So
no, and Weston Hermitage, by the way, just really quickly, he says on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoundy.com, he says Cowboys and Ravens are both pretenders. He says, but could you imagine a Super Bowl between these two teams?
Oh my gosh.
What a crazy day that would be.
That would be an awful day for me. Two of the teams I despise the most to watch. But either way, all right. Now, really quickly, a team that you think can be a surprise team that's going to be in the wild card range. I'm going to go with one really quickly because I know I didn't prep you guys for this. I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos. I think, quietly, they're having an amazing season. I know they had a rough start, but look at what Russell Wilson and company has been doing. I think that they are a team, if they sneak in, they're going to be a team that nobody wants to see. I think the Broncos are the sleeper team in the AFC, and I think they could be the sleeper wild card team of the playoffs if they find their way in the game. Do you all have a sleeper team?
I do.
Okay, go ahead and go then, Connor.
I'm gonna keep it in the AFC and a division you know pretty well, Junie. I'm gonna go with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah,
that defense has looked unstoppable, and I feel like Joe Flacco may be the veteran presence they need to carry this team to the playoffs. That offense is really good. Amari Cooper takes it in, and the backfield has looked really good without Nick Chubb. I don't think they will win this division. I think Baltimore kind of has that division won, but I think they can sneak into the playoffs. So the Cleveland Browns are my pick.
Any sleepers for you, Nick? Quickly.
So quickly, I would say Denver, but I would also maybe beg to say possibly, what could the Rams do in the last few weeks?
Ooh.
I don't know. Maybe they always kind of squeeze themselves into the conversation. Maybe them. That's what I would say.
That's a good pick. It's a good pick. All right, coming up next, we're going to put a bow on things. Pick three of the big games going on in the NFL. Titans included in that three. We'll make those picks and wrap up the show coming up next. You're listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Final segment of the day here on Riddle and the Reporter. Junior Riddle, Nick Kieser, Connor Newt behind the glass running the board. Let's kick it off with our picks of the weekend. Three NFL games. Starting off with a big one. This is an old Super Bowl rematch from the 90s. Bills, 2.5-point favorites at home versus the Dallas Cowboys. This is going to be a huge, huge game. Kieser, kick it off. Who do you got? Bills, Cowboys, Bills, 2.5 favorites.
Sticking with the Cowboys, guys.
Ooh.
Sticking with the Cowboys. I think they get the job done. Should be a fun one to watch. But I think Dak gets it done, even though they're on the road in a very, very unfriendly territory.
Connor, what do we think of this game? Super Bowl rematch, 90s. Troy Aikman.
A little before my time, but, you know.
Jim Kelly.
I'm going to go with the Bills. I can't bet against the Bills at home. You know, it's cold up there in Buffalo.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, a little bit.
They get snow from time to time in Buffalo.
Snow a little bit. And those boys from Texas aren't used to that cold. And I'm going to stick with my belief that the Cowboys are pretenders. And I think the Bills are going to get right back on track after that big win in Kansas City.
I completely agree with you, Connor. I'm going Bills at home. I think they want it more. I think they need it more. And they're going to be playing at home. Just got that win in Kansas City. They get a break with the Chargers being as bad as they are. I think this Bills team is going to sneak into the playoffs. They're the only team outside of the playoff standings. They have a plus 104-point differential, and they're currently sitting 11th in the AFC playoffs with all those 7-6 teams. I think there's 6 or 7 of them. There's a lot. So I think the Bills win this game just because they need it more to get in the playoffs, and I think they're going to find their way in. All right, next game. Going to be a big one, especially around here. Ravens on the road at Jacksonville against the Jaguars. The Ravens on the road. 3.5-point favorites. Nick, I'm going to start with you. Who are you going with in this matchup?
Ravens. Give me Ravens. I like this
and
a lot.
And the points. Are you taking them and the points? Are they going to beat them by more than 3.5?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that they could have a fun one against the Jags. I don't know. I feel like Lamar is going to throw the ball around the yard. So that should be a fun one to watch. And I don't know. The Jags defense, maybe they're tested a little bit too much. If Trevor Lawrence isn't on the field long enough, this is going to be a game that will end by at least a touchdown difference of a win on the scoreboard for Baltimore.
All right, Connor.
I'm going to take the Ravens as well, but I'm going to take the Jags in the points. I think this is going to be a defensive matchup. I could see this being like a 21-18 kind of game. That's it. I mean, the defenses are both stellar.
I'm going to take the Jags on the money line. I think Jags win. I think they have the components on defense to be able to play Lamar well. The way you beat Lamar is you contain him and you put pressure on him. The Jags are very good at doing this. They also have versatile inside linebacker play as well. I look at Olukun. I feel like he's going to be kind of spying on Lamar to make sure that he doesn't get out of the pocket. I just like the way the Jaguars move with their linebacker play. And also, their secondary is really opportunistic as well. So I don't think this is a good matchup for Lamar and the Ravens. I'm taking the Jags straight money line. I think they beat Baltimore in this matchup and get right back into the mix in the AFC playoffs. Okay, game right here in our city tomorrow, 12 Central Time kickoff. Oiler jerseys are out. Biggest troll job against the city of Houston against the banged up Texans, likely without CJ Stroud. Titans at home are 3.5 point favorites. Nick, I'm going to start with you. Who do you like in this game?
The Oilers, baby. Say it the right way, Junie. The Oilers.
The Tennessee Oilers versus the Texans.
Yes, we have the song in the Robbie and Rex Road folder. So, but look, I love these uniforms, but I love the Titans in this matchup this weekend. Will Levis should have a huge performance. I'm looking forward to it. Maybe another career game for him. I think he had, 327 passing yards against the Dolphins. I think he's going to be riding high on Sunday, boys. So give me the Titans.
I'll take Titans as well. Three words for you, Junie and Nick. William Donovan Levis in the Oilers jerseys. He's not going to lose. And plus, who's the other quarterback? Case Keenum? You really think this Titans defense is going to let Case Keenum run all over him? The Titans are not going to lose this game. They don't lose at home, except that one time. But they don't lose in the Oilers jerseys. So give me the Oilers.
All right. So I'm going to take the Titans straight up. I think they win on the money line, but the hook there is what's getting me. I think this Texans team is going to come and play and be a little bit more competitive than what people are guessing. I know they're dealing with a lot of injuries. I think Damian Pierce and company, I think they're going to run the ball well. No T.R. Tart, no Jeffrey Simmons. I think they run the ball on this Titans defense. And Case Keenum, again, good veteran. I think he's going to find some open guys in the secondary. So I think they're going to keep it close. But I think in the end, Derrick Henry's going to have a big game. I'm calling him to have over 120 yards on the ground. Big day for Henry. And I think Will Levis is going to make just enough clutch throws to pull the Titans through in a victory. They went on the last second field goal in the Oilers jerseys to send the entire city of Houston home packing. But that is all the time that we have today on Riddle and the Reporter. No show next week. Have a very Merry Christmas. Enjoy your time with your family, and may God bless you.